Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's that time of the week when we get together with a couple of friends here in studio, and we just kind of talk through the news of the week, and wherever it goes is where it goes. Today, joining me, we have, for the first time, doing this, even though you filled in for me.
Yeah.
So you've
Christmas
been
Eve a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Todd Thompson, who is the president and CEO and Grand Poobah of the Greater Pensacola Area Chamber of Commerce. Grand Poobah is not. I mean, that's. Can we still say Grand Poobah? Can't we say of the Water Buffaloes?
Isn't that's that? Who you are. No, I've been watching you on the news. Oh my God, I love you. That's why that was the joke about Leap.
That's right. And then Meg Burke, who is a repeat. Participant, executive director of Pensacola Young Professionals.
Happy to be here.
So between you, we have all the ages.
We do.
Right? We do. We have the business owners, and then we have the workers and the students.
Yes. Well, and I do want to let everybody know that with our new agreement with Pensacola Young Professionals, Meg is now on our board of directors.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we're doing a lot together.
Okay.
And
are we okay to have this meeting? It's not a sunshine violation.
Yeah, no, we're okay.
We've got away from that.
We got a lot of meetings.
So. I inadvertently ran into that very early on here. We did a, what did we always call it now? The headliners. And we did one where I had a couple of county commissioners together. And afterwards, people were like, you know, I'm like, oh, well, you know, water under the bridge. Right. All right. So what's that?
Lesson learned.
That's right. Lesson learned. Okay. So big news yesterday is a Triumph grant of like $8.5 million to refurbish Warehouse 10 on the port, which is one of the two middle buildings, the big ones that were destroyed by Sally and were skeletons for a while. And now have been we're working on the rebuilding. 9 is the other one. That was originally going to be the Streamline Boats, and that deal just kind of, I don't know, it's all gone now. So now American Magic is going to turn this into a comprehensive headquarters and training facility, and this is great news. Like, they left or whatever, but still, you know, great news, right, Todd?
Absolutely. You know, sailing is one of those sports and industries that brings high-paying jobs, and to have American Magic here with a permanent base is just phenomenal for our community. They're going to be competing on the world stage, and they'll be talking about Pensacola, you know, during those broadcasts. And, you know, we hear about the spies that come here and try to keep an eye on things. So, yeah, it's just a big win for the community, and it's great. Really love to see that we're getting some Triumph dollars to go help this out. And I don't know if we've really tapped into that as much as we should have. So it's very encouraging, very exciting, and just a big win for our community.
And it definitely seems to me like a quick, early, I mean, we're only, what, 6 months or so into, 7 months into D.C.'s mayorship. And already his approach of let's take off bite-sized chunks of Triumph grants instead of doing the big $50 million comprehensive fix-it-everything kind of thing. Let's go for one we can get and do and then go back and say, hey, give us a little bit more. Meg, you agree?
100%. I think that's great. And I think it also is going to tap into a tourism industry that we don't have really built out just yet in that sailing community. So this is great.
Is this – I don't know the answer, so I'm asking. Are younger people – excited about American Magic, see it sailing across the bay? Not so much. Do you have a sense of reaction to this kind of a thing?
I think younger people are excited about something fresh and new. It may not necessarily be the fact that it's American Magic, but it's something that's new to our community. You know, there is a little bit of sailing in our community already, but this is a totally different ball game than what we've already got here. So you know, something new comes to the community. They see a big ship. They want to know what's going on.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing, that when the tall ships come, they see a skate park opening, they see a day use marina, they see, you know, new and different things kind of coming all the time. And this is within that general pattern, right? This is, oh, that's kind of exciting. Now, Todd, I know you get kind of paid to be optimistic, right? You get paid to be Pensacola's a buy, right? You know, that's your job, right? You're the Ashton Hayward of, you know, the business community.
Right.
But at the same time, like, how far does your optimism on this go? Because the talk has been, okay, we get American Magic here. We get all of their collateral activities here. We get a maritime sailing training center here. All great stuff. And then the other sailing organizations discover, oh, that Pensacola Bay, that's pretty good. You know, maybe we get more than one. Maybe we get a couple. Maybe this becomes like the racing sailing center of the world, maybe.
Maybe the America's Cup happens here.
Right.
Maybe. You know, so yeah, I mean, it's
because if they win, they get to say, right?
They get to pick.
Yeah,
they get to pick the rules. They get to pick the location. So, you know, I mean, that the reason they are here is because we have ideal, you know, conditions for mm-hmm. training and for racing. So why not Pensacola?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's very exciting. We are, oh my God, the time always goes so fast. We're already into our first, like, it's 8:45.
Sure, we're not showing any slowdowns on the road. 437-1620. Text if you have any traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, I got a text in from Alex Smith, who's DC Reach Chief of Staff. He says, uh-oh, young people are totally excited about this, about American Magic. At least I am.
Hey, he's thanks, a member, cutie. So I take it.
Fair enough. One of the other things that, again, we're kind of like, all this stuff seems to be happening, and most of it takes years to manifest, right? But they all seem to be kind of sort of coming in around the same time. We just opened the skate park last week. The big problem we have with the skate park is people really like it.
It's too popular.
People want to keep skating there after dark, right, after dusk, and, well, we have the lights, you know, because we want to have people there, but that's a great problem, right, Meg?
I think it's awesome. I mean, if people are complaining that there's too many people using a resource that we've now created, I think we're doing the right thing.
Look, we built a park. We built a public amenity that people have been wanting for years, and we kind of, fingers crossed, hoped they'd use it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, look. Yeah. Right. They're using it a lot.
I think we have worse problems that we have in this community than people overusing a skate park.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, I love what the mayor said on Wednesday when we're talking to him, that because when I talk about keeping it open later, because I'm an advocate for, hey, let it be open basically as long as people want it to be open. And I personally have no problem with any hours, but, you know, I try to be reasonable. I think 10 o'clock or even midnight, you know, 2 and 3 a.m. starts to seem a little odd to me. But then again, maybe not. I don't know. But Mayor Reeves, the first thing that people think is, well, the noise. Mm-hmm. You know, skating is not a quiet activity particularly. And he's like, yeah, but where is it? It's underneath I-110. And how loud is I-110? I'm like, that makes perfect sense. You're not going to notice the skating over the cars on the interstate, right?
No. I mean, you've got that vehicular noise already. So, I guess I was speaking to Eric Goss with the PPD, and they're right there, and they said, you know, the biggest thing they've seen is just, you know, a lot of people have unfortunately been getting injured. Not bad. It doesn't sound like that.
That happens. That's part of skating.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, he said it's been a positive.
Anybody who says they're a skater who hasn't gotten hurt is they're lying about something.
Right.
I don't know which part they're lying. But and that's, you know, I don't know. We don't talk about this an awful lot, but I was a very low grade level skater back in junior high and high school, and I still have my skateboards from back then, and I can skate just enough to not die. Okay, that's my level of skill. But one of the things about skating that John Schell always preaches about, and he's right, is it's a fantastic endeavor for more solo-oriented individuals, you know, loners, okay? Even though they have a group of loners, they're still loners. But it's so difficult. It is so hard physically to do. You fail, a little bit of success, fail, get hurt, fail, hurt, get... I mean, you know, and then you hit something. And the level of, overcoming obstacles... literally overcoming the skating obstacles is the goal, that there's a kind of a persistence and character and resilience and endurance that, you know, people don't talk about that much, but as a sport, it is teaching things that, you know, people need as character traits, right?
I 100% agree. I think things like skateboarding or even marching band, for instance, get a bad rap. You know, like, it's nerds, it's loners, it's,
right,
you know, street kids, whatever. But what all of those things are doing is building character for kids and young adults through their older age. Yeah.
It might not be the take an order sort of discipline that you would get more like in a band scenario, mm-hmm, but it's discipline that's self-driven and motivated, and, you know, you have to be disciplined. It's incredibly disciplined in that regard. Mm-hmm. And then now we've got, back to the port for the moment, we've got the project approved for the pickleball courts, which is we say that because that's been the focus, but it's a multi-use indoor sports facility for volleyball and indoor soccer and basketball and convention space, which, you know, Mike Ensley of Pensacon made the great note that, like, people think the Bay Center is big, and the Bay Center is, 23,000 square feet surrounded by a big building.
Right.
This is going to be 50% more than that, surrounded by a shell, you know. So that's like, to me, I know people have concerns about the port, and I get their concerns, but to me, that's another, hey, here's a cool thing we're doing.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's a different audience.
Right.
Like you talked about with the skate park, that's a unique audience that's going to use that. So this is another unique audience. It's an amenity for them. Hopefully we can bring in some tournaments and to some outside folks again to drive tourism in the off season. So yeah, it's just another amenity, and it's downtown. So
are your members, and I know you'd probably talk to Walker a bunch at the DIB, you know, are downtown businesses excited about, I mean, I assume the Fish House and Atlas are like thrilled because all of the traffic they're going to get. But, right. You know, it's really close to Palafox. The parking is going to be on the ferry terminal, a lot of it. And so those folks are going to eat. You know, when you go to tournaments, you eat, you spend money at hotels, you go out to do things, entertainment after. This is, to me, it's bringing a whole new slice of people to Pensacola for a different reason who, like always, hey, if we can get them here, then they come back. That seems good to me for business.
Yeah, and I equate it to like the Sun Belt basketball tournament. You know, that is a new event where, you know, people from all over the Southeast are coming to Pensacola. Most of them are coming for the first time. And that was one of the things I did during that week is just like I'd go to Publix and I'd see fans in their gear and I'd talk to them. I'd say, hey, you know, how long are you staying here? And they're like, we're here for the whole week no matter what happens to our team. I'm here at the beach. I'm staying out, you know, I'm enjoying everything about Pensacola. So I think, again, it's really exposing Pensacola to folks who have not either been here ever or it's been a long time. And, you know, again, this is just another opportunity to do that.
You know, kind of in this sort of vicinity, a story that I have, it's been on my list all week and I just haven't had a chance to talk about it. It happens all the time. You think with 4 hours a day, I could talk about everything I want to. That's just not true, sadly, or whatever. But the NCAA Beach Volleyball Championship that came a few years ago to Gulf Shores, and I thought it was a great get for our area. You know, we don't always think regionally about these things, but, and, you know, maybe traffic to Gulf Shores doesn't necessarily benefit Pensacola as much, but it's still, it's in the vicinity, right? And if we start to become a vicinity, that's useful. Well, they're losing that. It's going away. It's going to be going to California for at least 2 years. It could come back after that. We're not quite sure, but I felt that as a loss. They say $1.5 million every single year economic impact, 2,000 hotel room nights rented for that basically 1 week of NCAA attention. You know, we had what was the one that was up at Ashton Brosnahan? Was it the
SEC soccer?
That's
women's
right,
soccer.
Because you had mentioned the you know, the Sun Belt tournament. These things are big. They're great. Again, bringing eyeballs and families come and they spend money, right? It's for young people, Meg.
Yeah, young people. And I think, you know, everyone. Most of our members are college grads, and so they want to follow their college, no matter what, no matter where they're going. So. We're bringing young people in to see what's going on and follow their teams and experience Pensacola and the area in a way that they've never been able to experience it before.
Yeah, how much of that happened for that tournament? The, you know, somebody who might not necessarily be a soccer fan, but they went to, what, Alabama, LSU? Sure. I forget some of the teams that were doing very well in that tournament. Did they turn up to watch it just because it was their team in their hometown?
I believe so, from what I understand, yeah. Like people, and it's the same thing with the Sun Belt, like those sports opportunities are bringing in people that normally don't get to do that. So
no, that's very cool. We're talking to Todd Thompson. He is the president and CEO, and we just learned today, Grand Poobah, of the Pensacola area, Greater Pensacola Area Chamber of Commerce. Also, Meg Burke, executive director of Pensacola Young Professionals, PYP. You sometimes hear them.
Yes. You know them.
You down with PYP?
I am.
That's how you're going to answer me? Not yeah.
Yeah,
you know
you
me.
Know
thank
me.
You. Thank you. So one of the other things, and I know both of you have been following this pretty closely, is the homelessness. We had Dr. Joe Savage, who was here in town. He gave it was a very interesting presentation of the city council. I can see how it would have ruffled some feathers. Right. I certainly found things I disagreed with. His basic premise was, look, this is how the federal government is doing it. If you want the federal government money, you need to do it this way. And if you do, you'll get the money. And oh, by the way, this works, whatever you might think of it. I did think it was funny that he gives an hour presentation of the joint council county commission meeting and then they just adjourn and they don't talk and they don't say anything. They don't even get to be like, you know, who their names are. They're just all there. And then they thought that was kind of strange. But you guys have both been paying attention to this. What did you think of what you heard this week, Meg?
I feel very hopeful. The fact that DC and Mayor Reeves rather brought him in to have a conversation with our community about fixing our homeless problem, I think it says a lot about our mayor and our community and what priorities are on deck for us. I will say, like, as for us, as an organization, our members are very passionate about this. So any movement I see is, I think, a positive one, regardless of the motives or if it's to just to get government funding, whatever it is. I think it's obviously moving in the right direction.
Do your members, they're passionate. It seems to me like there's two possible motives, okay? Mm-hmm. Possible motive number one is, I just want to help these people. I feel great compassion for them. The other motive is, I just want to be able to go downtown and not be harassed, mm-hmm. which is a big issue, right? We talk about parking, driving people out of town, pardon the mixed metaphor there, but, you know, parking and panhandling and aggressive homelessness. Like, oh, yeah. These are real problems for our economic driver downtown. Do you have a sense of, is it either or both of those concerns?
For young people, I don't think it's necessarily the harassment idea. I think our members are very passionate about getting people off the streets, helping our community, but also it's a little twofold in that we have an affordable housing issue.
Yeah.
And when we did our quality of life survey a couple years ago, we were polling whether our community, not just young people, our community felt affordable housing was a homelessness issue or a working poor issue, and mm-hmm. they think affordable housing is a working poor issue. So there's two different pieces of this. The homelessness puzzle is, if we can fix affordable housing, we're helping the homelessness problem and also our young and lower income families that need housing.
Yeah, most definitely, because you see, you know, people at the margin of housing get squeezed out into homelessness. People at the next tier up get squeezed down into that lower level, which exerts downward pressure on the people who participate in housing, right? Which is everybody. Yep. So you can see the connection between all of these things. And certainly, you know, people who are, it's kind of interesting because we have great sympathy for the people who are working at low wages and have trouble finding housing in an inflationary market. We maybe don't have as much sympathy for the people who we feel are responsible somehow for their homeless, which is, of course, a theme he talked about, the responsible and the not responsible, the deserving and the undeserving. But, you know, housing is something that everybody needs. Yes. Whether you think it's a human right, we disagree, but everybody needs it regardless. Oh, man, the time is flying. Hang on for just a second. Let's get to Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
Accident on Highway 98 and Breezy Wind Drive in Gulf Breeze. This is west of Garcon Point on Highway 98. There is a roadblock. It looks like westbound. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Todd, your thoughts about what you heard with the homeless presentations?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway to me was, you know, we all have to work together. You know, there are some great organizations and people who are engaged on this homelessness issue. And but if we're going to be successful, you know, you got to bring everybody together, have them all at the table and come up with that plan. That's what he talked about. You have to have that plan. You have to have that buy-in and you know, understanding, okay, these are the things we're looking for as you apply for these funds. If you're not checking those boxes, then, you know, you're not going to get the maximum amount, and you know, it's going to make it more difficult to address the issue. But again, you know, it's talking about housing, it's a supply and demand thing, and we need more supply. That's the biggest thing. Yeah, we've got people coming into our community, and a lot of people who are moving in are the ones that can afford housing.
Right.
And so, you know, you talk about that downward pressure, so they're able to buy a house, but somebody else, you know, who's looking, or they're new to the community and they're looking for a house, you know, it maybe used to be in the 200 range, is now in the 300 range, and, you know, forcing that price up, where we need the supply to help even that out and make it easier for folks who are, you know, working folks who are looking for that housing.
I do have a concern, and it's a political concern, because unless I know the county commission badly, and I don't think I know them badly, I think I know them pretty well. I'm sure Lumen was amending everything that was going on, but I can see Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh, and maybe to a degree Robert Bender, and maybe even to a degree Mike Kohler, the four Republicans on the commission, maybe not loving the way the meeting went, maybe on top of that being preached at kind of a liberal take on homelessness, and maybe having this sort of rankled view about not buying into a federal government doing things the way they don't want just to get the federal money. I don't know whether I think the county commission is going to go along with this or not. I hope we can figure this out. I hope they do, but, you know, I suppose we'll see. And in the 15 seconds we have remaining, Warrington Middle School, we cannot possibly. Let's just say we're all hoping that some good solution comes about. Meg Burke, Todd Thompson, thanks so much for joining me today. You guys were the best, and we'll see you soon. Thanks so much. Lisa.